listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. How's the baby? Keep it real. Take the red pill.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, and it is absolutely, you know, the intro to the show right there is, you know, that wasn't chosen just to be there, just to talk trash. Listen, I've declined interviews for a very long time. I was supposed to go on a radio tour last year this time, but there's some things in the background going on, and connected to business, because, you know, got to make money, and also, it's all about providing an extra service to you, the people, that is not being provided, and I'm not talking on a product level, but a service. A service that you think you have, but you don't. Now, I did a show today. I've done a couple shows today. I'm a little worn out. I was on Chuck O' Chili's show and another show. And I don't know. I mean, Illumitards, I mean, you like for me to talk dirty to you. I could do it. I really can. I can do it every night. There's as much of that to go around as there is time. I've got about 7 billion places where I can put that information. I got time. You got time? You obviously got time to waste, because you're wasting your psyop on me. But guys, I don't know. Maybe I'll put the link into the show where you can listen to the Chuck O' Chili show. He's a great guy. And it was just a phenomenal show. He asked me some questions I've never been asked before. Of course, you know me. I got to ask for everything. But anyhow, let's go ahead and get into the show. I've got my co-host, Bill the Butcher, here with me.
Yo!
And Will is, I think he's having some connectivity issues, so he's not going to be joining us today.
Cluck, cluck, cluck! I got his back.
Yeah, you know, I wish the show was longer. I probably should have brought two co-hosts onto the show, because the show is only so long. But, again, I'm training, I'm teaching, and I want to give the opportunity to others. Maybe John or other people will give my co-host an opportunity to be on their platforms for their own shows. And once they get their own shows, I'm going to bring in another set of co-hosts, and then another set of co-hosts. I'm vetting right now, because the movement, the Truther movement, has got some real passionate people who are knuckleheads, and there are some people that feel like they know something then don't know a damn thing, and then they're just misinformation agents, and then disinformation agents. Now, I've made it on to the RBN, and from what I have heard, man, this is the network. Public Broadcast Network. Again, some of the smartest people have called in and talk to us. It's great. But we're going to be having a guest, I believe so, Monica Riggs. She's supposed to be calling in. I'm not sure if she's on the line yet. She's here?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm on the line.
Well, I've already introduced you, hon. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm doing good. Yes, I do. I hear you real well.
Now, you have been a long-time supporter of my media. You've been a long-time supporter of Anthony Thomas. You have been there for quite some time. And I'm glad that you want to join us here on this broadcast. Thank you very much.
Well, I thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So what do you want to talk about?
When I became targeted, it was more of a political action than anything. And, you know, mine's public corruption at the wazoo. You'd just blow your mind. And, you know, I've had threats on my life, almost remotely assassinated by remote control, you know, and stuff like that. But mine started out as a crime of hate, and it was job oriented, and it had to do with a public works and utility that in Grand Junction, known as the Persego Wastewater Treatment Plant at 2145 River Road. And anyway, what started out, like I said, of a crime of hate ended up into an act of domestic terrorism that ended up into, you know, acts of high treason. It'd just blow your mind. And, yeah, it was pretty scary stuff. And we had a party of five I reported to. And, you know, all I can say is with our public representation in the shapes that they're in right now, they do nothing to support the victims of these attacks.
Well, let me stop you there. Can you go into more detail? Because I'm a little, it seems a little vague. We need to get all these cases of target individuals fleshed out. So if you can give us a little bit more detail from the beginning, I would appreciate that.
I appreciate you putting me that way. And anyway, it was January 28th and 29th in 2011. An act of domestic sabotage occurred against the Persego Wastewater Treatment Plant in order to set me up for termination. And my supervisor called me on an alarm, you know, and being how he called over the radio to make sure everybody hear him, called me on this alarm. On this pump that was an alarm, you know, and so I went over there to address the situation and do that work to the fact that we were under electronic monitoring and stuff like that. There was no alarm there. That pump was nowhere near alarm activity and hadn't been for several days. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know what he's seeing here, but, you know, due to the fact it was an order over the radio waves, you know, I had to treat it like a real condition. So I did. Anyway, this pump ends up on all night, you know, and filled up one of the sled. You know, Persego is a big wastewater treatment plant. We were processing about 12 million gallons a day. So, you know, we had like 23 process tanks, 50 pumps, you know, all this equipment. We had a monitor and stuff like that. And being so, we went over to a computerized system, what it did do for us, it gave us eyes that we never had before, and we were able to troubleshoot problems, you know, further in and be able to curtail problems, you know, before they happened. So anyway, he called me on this alarm. There was no alarm. I had to address it like a real condition. I come in the following morning, and I saw what happened, you know, so I had to call my supervisor in and explain the situation that happened to him, and he was all ready for me. He had an incident report sitting in his back pocket, you know, over a situation I had happened a couple of days over housekeeping. And, you know, I actually accidentally blew an outlet, you know. And so he was trying to nail me on this outlet and on this pump situation that this tank got filled all night long. And, you know, I just knew something was wrong, you know, that he was in the wrong. I just couldn't wear this crime, and he kept trying to force it up my rear. And so, you know, I had to take this, the worst reprimand you could ever imagine possible, you know, they were set up for me the following Wednesday when I returned to work, you know. I mean, they had the reprimand in the office. And this was not formal protocol by no means, because I was not interviewed on what the conditions were on what happened, you know. They just had it all set up. So, you know, basically, you know, they wanted me out of service, you know. So, you know, I tried to work my way through this reprimand and stuff like that. And so it was like April 8th. I was called on an emergency callback with the power outage down at the plant. And so I show up at the plant, you know, and it was formal protocol. We parked in front of the administration building. So somebody knew somebody was on the plant, you know. I mean, it's just safety factors. And so anyway, I entered the building, pulled up the computer monitoring system to see what was down, and, you know, started activating equipment, you know, throughout the line. And about 1 minute later, my supervisor came running in. This is like 2 a.m. in the morning. And my supervisor came running into the administration building with his fist cocked back like he was going to punch me in the face for activating a set of pumps that he was working on that he failed in safety protocol of lockout, tagout, in which I could have easily took his arms off and never even knew he was on the plant because he was in a dark area, and he never responded back to callbacks. We did. And so, you know, I got scared, you know. I mean, the stalking, you know, the mobbing and everything like that, you know, it finally forced me into resignation under duress, you know, in a hostile work environment. And so when I resigned, I was the primary supporter of my family. I pulled my retirement program, and when I put, you know, to pay off my place, you know, get stable in my finances and all this stuff, you know, to be able to go seek new employment and whatnot. And so when I pulled my retirement account, you know, I noticed right off the bat my family's names of beneficiaries were removed, and two unknown names were installed on this account. And so, you know, I called the human resource manager, and, you know, because she treated my resignation like a termination. She didn't have my letter in her office. And I, you know, I resigned under hostile work conditions under duress. And so anyway, when I reported to her about the suspicious activity in my retirement account, it just sent her all in alarms. Today, what I know about, and it was funneled through, we had what was known as international city, county managers accounts for retirement benefits and stuff like that, known as ICMA. And they're a huge, huge investor. Well, when I got, and I've done business with ICMA before, but when I got my retirement check, and it nothing about it looked official at all, nothing. So, you know, I called it in, reported it, sent her in alarms, called her a couple of days later and, you know, to see what the situation was. And she said, well, Cersei, this woman, she didn't log out of the computer. And this I find very doubtful, because these people that work on these accounts are anywhere from triple to, you know, five time, you know, quality control checks, you know, to make sure they got it right, because, you know, you just have quality.
You don't want money going places that it's not supposed to go. Yes, I understand. But right, so before we get too far into this, because this is a lot of information. Thank you. And I'm dealing with some things behind the scene over here with stuff like this, and my blood is boiling just hearing this. How much just corruption that goes on, and I'm thinking to myself, just computers, the paperwork, the people who said this is and that. Can we, before you get into your payment thing here, can we talk about who you think set you up for exactly and why exactly?
Yes, I can tell you. Yes. Let me do it just a little bit further, you know. Okay, so it sends her in alarms. I call her back a couple of days later, and she says, oh, Monica, she says, this is a human resource analyst with the City of Grand Junction, Donna Smith, who was the one I reported the suspicious activity to about my retirement account. And she told me when I called her back, she says, Monica, I didn't have your resignation letter. I would really, really like to, you know, schedule you for another exit interview. And, you know, and at that time I was too severely wounded, you know, I mean, they treated it like a termination. I was a long-term employee. I was damn good at what I did, you know, and I took my professionalism quite well. I'm a female. I work in male-dominated workforces almost all my life. I was the first woman on a number of jobs, you know, and when you work a lot of these jobs as a female, if she can't cut it, no woman can. So you can bet I cut it every dang time. I was skilled.
You sound very
I was well practiced.
I don't doubt that at all.
What's that?
I said, you sound very tough. I don't doubt you at all.
yeah, and I've had people tell me that before. You're a very strong individual, you know, but I never looked at myself like that. But I will defend myself if I have to, without a doubt, you know. I mean, if it's wrong, it's wrong, you know. So anyway, I thought long and hard about this. You know, after I resigned, I had 180 days to be able to file for an EEOC complaint. Well, so I thought real long and hard about it because I knew the proof of fact was existing in public records. And, I mean, it was without a doubt. It existed in public records. So I filed with the EEOC, and in November, I started that, you know, I went into, well, it was October in 2011. I went to Donna Smith. I did another exit interview with her, and I said sexual discrimination. And she just, you know,
Hold on. I know it feels like you're trying to get all this information. I've got to slow this down and get the facts out to the audience. When you file an EEOC complaint, I'm going to tell you, a lot of targeted individuals I talk to find that they are targeted. Targeted individuals after an EEOC complaint. This is probably the most common story I've heard that no one realizes. Please. Okay.
Right. So, in order to prove my EEOC complaint, I had to access the City of Grand Junction's Public Records Department. And so when I was on that exit interview with Donna Smith, I asked her, I says, well, what do I have to do in order to be able to access the Public Records Department? So she sent me to the city clerk's office, which was operated under Melinda Catapano at that time. And so I know exactly the caliber of men that I worked under, you know, they were what they were, absolute scum. And so, you know, when I started pulling the public records, at first I pulled them uncertified, where the fact is I felt, you know, if any criminal malevolence is going to take place, it's going to surface right here. And so, you know, I made this, you know, made it look like the case was all over the place and, you know, made the selection of records. They did not adhere to one law regarding the Freedom of Information or the Colorado Open Records Acts. They did not adhere to any of them. And these laws are pretty specific. You know, you either have 48 hours or 72 hours to produce records to, you know, keep transparency and accountability in government. Well, it took them over 6 days to pull the records. And it took them only 3 days to print them. So, you know, I made this selection, and I put a couple of decoy documents in there, you know, knowing full good and well that if criminal activity was going to take place, these documents would be missing. And sure enough, they were missing. The records I had selected were, you know, severely altered. You know, it was pretty much like a lawyer bait-and-switch program. So when I picked up this first selection of records, uncertified, as I was walking out of Melinda Catapano's office, she kind of smugly laughed at me and said, good luck. Well, you know, that was about 1,000 pages of forged documentation right there. And if these
people
were...
Well, that happens a lot. But I've got to interrupt you here because we're going to commercial break. But yes, that happens a lot.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so angry right now. And Bill, please jump in when we come back from break. But
I'm listening closely.
Look at the uppercut. Hey, the uppercut again. Terrible. Like the worst thing in the world.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, this is Matt Ray for MySleepAllNight.com, and most of us don't even realize that almost all of the healing, learning, and rejuvenating that happens in our body happens only when we are deeply asleep. Now, if you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, it's likely you never consistently achieve that crucial level of deep sleep. Deep restorative sleep is the key to health, mood, productivity, longevity, memory, you name it, so many health benefits. To experience what deep sleep feels like, try the new dietary supplement Sleep All Night, formulated by scientist Kurt Hendricks. And sleep like your life depends on it, because let's be honest, it does. Head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. That's MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio for 20% off your purchase. Again, head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio. That's MySleepAllNight.com.
Yes, 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 that's right. We are back from commercial break. This is our short segment, and I got Bill the Butcher here, who's my co-host, and I've got to ask you, you being an older gentleman, you're 67 years old. I don't know how old Monica is. Ms. Riggs, how old are you?
59.
Okay, so, I mean, is this something, because this is more of your territory, does this sound right to you? Because, I mean, of course it's not right, but is this the male-dominated industry white male dominated industry that you are familiar with from your point of view?
Well, if you want to talk white male privilege, it certainly existed there.
as opposed to black male, right?
Yeah, primarily most of them white males and white females too. And, you know, needless to say, I'm white, you know, so it's a white on white thing.
You had a lot of technical stuff in there, and I would like to boil it down for the audience so I can understand it, and they can too. You were dealing in water purification, am I right?
Wastewater treatment, yeah, you know, solution, you know, it's dilution. It was, you know, major biologics, chemistry, mathematics, hydraulics, you know, pumps, and you know, it actually took a lot of skill. You had to do a lot of education, you know, most of it was self-taught. You know, I loved what I did. I really did.
Okay, and basically what it is you came upon where we were developing ourselves into Flint, Michigan. Am I correct?
No, we actually dumped into the Colorado River, you know, because this is Grand Junction, Colorado, and we were actually, you know, we were compliance permitted, you know, we had to meet compliance and all this, and we were also under the Endangered Fish Species Act, you know, in certain areas of our months of our treatment process, you know, we had to meet ammonia restrictions, and you know, because
they were messing up, but some way they were messing up and make a mistakes in this process.
Well, they were messing up not in the areas of critical thought, you know, because what I requested at first were bench sheets, but you know, I was going to go for the true factual records, you know, but I had to know if they were going to mess them up, and they did. They put out 1,000 pages of public records, you know, at the uncertified level. You know, basically it was financial ripoff and forged documentation to, you know, cover the crime that was committed on January 29th, 2011.
It was mainly a financial crime.
Financial fraud and, financial fraud and forged of public documentation. And due to the fact this is the city clerk's office, they are the record keepers. Due to the fact that they can discriminate against one like that, they can discriminate against them all. And, you know, like I said, I pulled them at the uncertified level, only to go in there for the certified level of the critical documents of fact. Well, after I got that 1,000 pages of uncertified documentation, and it was a lawyer bait-and-switch buggery program, I called him up, you know, and wanted to, you know, re-access it so this way I could go for the certified documents I needed, and they shut my public records access down. They told me, nope, we ain't doing it, you know, and that's against the law. That's illegal as hell. And so I finally filed a complaint off to Grand Junction City Council under Mayor Tom Kenyon, Mayor Pro Term Bill Pitts, Councilman Jim Duty, Sam Susera, Bennett Bostein, and Councilwomen Teresa Coons and Laura Luke. Well, when I shipped off that, and it was emailed, I knew for a fact, you know, if I sent it in there per email, you know, that's a recorded document, you know, it's got an electronic footprint, and they got 21 of them, and I was a little bit heated, you know, over this blatant theft and over...
Hold on a second. I know this is a short segment. We got to go back to commercial break, but we'll be right back, okay?
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You know, this story that we're hearing, I don't even know if I can contain it with my big fat head. This is a lot of information. This is a lot of real world problems. And I
She's very technical. She's very technical. That's why I tried to.
She's talking shop majorly, which I can understand everything she's saying. She's talking shop. I know some of our listeners may not be able to follow this, but let me add in my own personal experience here very quickly. In my experience as a wage slave, that 9-to-5 job that half my check is taken from me, that scenario when I used to do that. And let me tell you, living here in Europe, I'm telling people how the workforce works in America, because here in Europe, you have a contract. You get a job, you got a contract. There's 3-month contract, 6-month contract, year, whatever you sign for. You don't just get fired from a job. And you can determine the days that you're not going to come into work. If you're sick, you're sick. No one's going to be able to do anything about it, to retaliate or anything. When I explain to people here in Europe that in America, if you take too many sick days off, you'll get fired. When you are late 2 times in 1 week, you'll get fired. When I explain to people here in Europe that slavery still exists in America, the ghastly faces that I get, the expressions, the reactions, okay, it is horrendous. I myself have worked jobs where it's like, okay, manager doesn't like me. Okay, I'm going to do everything perfect. That's just, it doesn't matter if you do everything perfect. I've been set up myself. And I found out later that a few of these jobs, my manager was an ex-cop. So he automatically doesn't like black people. And it's like, okay, your station is here. You're responsible for this. The night this a-hole manager comes in, you're responsible for this, this, and this, and this. That's 3 different jobs. You're giving me responsibility of 1 crew. And as soon as I go to the register, what are you doing at the register? You're supposed to be doing dishes. What are you doing at the dishes? You're supposed to be at the drive-thru. Written up at the end of the night, I don't want you working here anymore. I've been set up like that. Okay? I've worked in places, I'll even throw it out there, Dollar Tree, Austin, Texas, South Side. I hope it's not there anymore. And I feel very hurt and betrayed by this particular incident because it was a black manager, old black man, who, you stacked these shelves wrong. No, I didn't. I'm not responsible for that section. It was this white guy over here. I gotta let you go. Well, you know what? You race trait and I don't want it. Get to the point I'm going to curse on this broadcast. I'm not going to do that.
I kicked over a stack of beer yesterday at HEB by accident. Bumped into it. It was like 10, 12 packs high, Coors. And I bumped it and went down. Of course, I got out of Dodge real quick and everything. But they stacked it wrong. So I appreciate it. And I'm glad to know it was financial that she was involved in, because I almost quit drinking Coors beer at her talk.
Well, so this kind of thing happens. You can be targeted. And this is what I hate about America. Somebody doesn't like you. Life is hard enough as is. There's no equality there. Somebody doesn't like you. And I have found to be the most likable person in the world since I got into media. Me in the workforce? It seems like, well, we're giving you opportunity because we're obligated to, but don't plan on being here for long. It's like, I've been in so many places and so many situations. I've been in court. I've got out of court. I've got out of situations because the judge will speak to me and say, wow. And this is reverse racism. Wow, you're so intelligent. What are you doing here? You shouldn't be here right now. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, get out of here. Go try again. You know, I give the system a little bit of credit in some areas there, but when you've got the workforce working against you and you've got the court system working against you, society's picture of you is working against you, America, the land of the free, home of the brave, and all that BS, you know, take a hike with that. I've got real people on the show with real stories, and I'm going to let you continue on. And to tell you the truth, we're not going to be able to cover everything in one show. You might need to send us more information so we can have you on for a second, third, and fourth time if we need to. Because what you're talking about is so important. It's phenomenal. I resonate with you so much, and I feel for you. And this is something that needs to be addressed. So please continue off where you left off.
So I filed a complaint over the 1,000 pages of forged documentation, you know, the lawyer bait and switch buggery program, and it's the city attorney. I hold the highest degree responsible for the crimes that were committed against me. And his name is John P. Shaver. And he's still in office. So like I said, okay, they had 1,000 pages of forged documentation. I filed a complaint with the Grand Junction City Hall. And that city attorney, John Shaver, called me back. And he said, Monica, he said, it is your right to access the public records department. But he said city council, city mayor, and none of them would talk to me at all. Negotiations could have easily been had because this case was a slam dunk provable thing. The worst thing about it is where the action took place. It was known as the anaerobic digestion. Okay, and like I said, my supervisor had everything to do with it. And in this anaerobic digestion, we produced over 120,000 cubic feet of methane mixed gases that could easily start an explosion if the process is not ran correctly. And, you know, and it gets worse. So the city attorney sets up a meeting on January 9th, 2012. And I know for a fact, you know, just due to the fact he's already inhibiting my free rights. You know, because he's, you know, anybody that had any high-level conflict of interest, you know, had a responsible legal obligation to recuse themselves, to discipline themselves, and to police themselves. Did not. I mean, it just got worse. So I, you know, tried to access the critical records and data that I needed. You know, I show up at this meeting. I have Melinda Catapano. I have Dan Tonello, who is the superintendent at Persega Wastewater Treatment Plant, and I have City Attorney John P. Shaver, and I brought my now ex in with me just for the fact is, as I knew intimidation practices were going to happen, and that way he kept them from beating up on me, although he was just very little help because he didn't understand how in-depth this situation was. So anyway, so I'm in this meeting with them, and all their fingers point to Jay Vansell, the man with the highest level conflict of interest, as the man that pulled the records. And so on the records that I was seeking, what he was doing is he was altering what was standard operation procedure set points, you know, just to, you know, deflect where the real crime was. The worst thing about this is the process, you know, like I said, it was the anaerobic digester. We produced over 120,000 cubic feet of methane a day. We were only maybe 200 yards, maybe 300 yards off of Interstate I-70, and that a tank that produces that kind of gas does have a real potential to blow a lid off, and it could have went right into Interstate 70. So I get the certified documents from it, and the worst thing about Melinda Catapano is she put her certified, you know, city clerk certified approval on it, while all the while they're pointing that Jay Vansell is the man that pulled the records, you know. So not only that, so okay, I filed with the city mayor and all the council members about the forged documentation and the intentional theft, and these guys are all pointing their fingers at Jay Vansell. So right off the bat, they expose the fact they're you know, really aiding and abetting known enemies of the state, you know, and you're like, I can't believe this. Now even the council's involved, you know, and I tried to get the appropriate documents, but there was no way that lawyer was going to let him out because it would have bear trapped their own balls, literally, And they already did, because they already fingered city council for aiding and abetting known enemies of the state. And, yeah, it got worse. The more I tried to access, the more, you know, restricted I became. I became under major surveillance, and a lot of that surveillance I really get suspect stemmed from reporting the suspicious activity within my retirement account. So today I view that as what they call stranger-originated life insurance policies. And these guys wanted me dead. They were going to do anything to keep my mouth shut, because if my lawsuit would have literally ran naturally through the course of law-abiding whatever's, you know, would have easily commanded $50 million, easily, just in principle alone. This behavior should have been eliminated years ago. And so I'm trying to work on the case, and I file a complaint with Colorado Consumer Protection under Attorney General John Struthers and Assistant Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman regarding the 1,400 pages, a forged documentation that was released by the city of Grand Junction, and I was seeking, you know, antitrust law support from them. Well, that was my fatal mistake. These guys will pervert the law and whatever they have to do in order to silence a whistleblower. So my home went under very severe cyber attack, you know, because they wanted to know what I was putting into my computer so they could backdoor build a case against me. I knew they were there. I saw the ghosting programs coming in. I saw the way they were profiling my hands on my mouse and on the keyboard and all that. You know, I could see the ghosting programs behind the screens that I were on. It was just insane. So, you know, here I have a full-blown army of sexual violent predators in my bedroom as I'm trying to work on this case. You know, I was under three death threats. I was biologically attacked. I've been nanochip technology. I've been microchip technology. I mean, they knew no boundaries. You know, the rapes started coming in, and the body mutilations, you know, within my nostrils started. And I had a friend of mine, Marcia Yost, who resided at the Radican Towers at 875 Main Street, Grand Junction, Colorado. She had paralegal skills and was trying to help me build my case. And I thought maybe her domain might be a safe place to work because it was federally protected. I was wrong. I worked across five computers trying to put this case together, a case they would never allow see the light of day, where the fact is 1,400 pages of forged documentation that the full force of the law were applied against these people who took on these responsible positions. It would have cost him 4,200 years in prison. You know, and not only that, it would question everything that John Shaver had produced in his decades of service within the city of Grand Junction, to where it would cause such severe collateral damage just within the legal system alone. You know, it was insane. It was totally insane. So, you know, my home at that time, I lived in outside of Whitewater, Colorado. I had a rural piece of property, 36 acres, and I was backed up against the Bureau of Land Management properties on two sides of my properties. And, I mean, it was gaslit. I had them scratching on my walls at night, you know, trying to scare me as I was working on my case. I knew they were there. I mean, these
you
guys
were so beyond inspection. Well, I don't know if you're full spectrum. The scratching on the walls and all that, this is Harold Dine's sound projection technology. That's how you know it's the feds when you get to this point. Listen, we're coming close to the end of the show. There's just not enough time for this. Let me address my co-host here. Butcher, can we make a case study out of her? Because she is a targeted individual that has so much documentation, so much actual rooted evidence.
This is where Ted comes in. You know, he's not good at radio, but he's real good at this kind of stuff. He can get the White Hats involved and some other people and get behind the doors, so to speak. He's working on
don't count yourself out. I want you to read an article.
I will.
I want full hands on this story because
I've got to get more information from her. So basically I know what I'm talking about. She's a highly technical person. She knows just her show with us has showed me. That's why I shut up tonight, because
that's why I'd be quiet.
She's very highly technical, and I've got to understand the technical. Once I understand the technicalities, then yes, of course. I would like to say one thing. I love the part, every time we run into a targeted individual, they always try this cyber attack, and I'd like to take 1 minute. When I went to California, somebody stole my iPad out of my car. And now this is stupid. It was a meth dealer, and he stole my iPad out of my car. And what you don't do when you're a meth dealer is you don't run out of gas in the police parking lot with the meth in the trunk. You got something you don't do. Yeah. And but they took possession of my iPad. A year later, I came back from California and I went to get my iPad. I said, "You've got my iPad." And, "Well, we can't find it. We can't do this." I said, "Well, I just want to ask you a question. Have you turned it on?" "Well, we don't know. No, please answer me the question. Have you turned it on?" "Well, why?" "Well, I work for Apple Computers. In fact, I work for Division 422, which was Steve Jobs himself. And I have two programs on there. There's a thing called Satan and Cops. And if you turn that thing on without putting in the password, it will identify your internet connection. It'll go up, and the first thing it will do is it will download to my database everything that it finds, and then it will erase everything you've got, and then it will report to Cupertino or where it's at." I had my iPad within 3 minutes.
Well, and yes, thank you for vocalizing that. Every target individual has some form of hacking done to them at some level. I know. I don't even want to get into the level of hacking because you guys already know. But Monica, can we make a case study out of you? What I would like to do is I would like for you to send us as many legal documentations documents that you can to us.
Like I said, the 1,000 pages were uncertified. They were useless from the get-go. The only ones I kept were the certified ones, and whether I still have them or not, I don't know, you know, because these guys know no boundaries. I mean, they did not stop at anything, and it got a hell of a lot worse than what I'm reporting just right now. It was insane how far and above and beyond the call of duty these people will do to avert a disaster. And that's a negative newspaper headline.
And what I preach on every show that I have is that people, documentation is your best friend.
Right.
I have had so many computers crash. I've had so many. Something that these people do not control is pencil and paper. Guess what? Old technology beats the new. Technology.
You know why I don't worry about stuff like that? Because I was a real estate agent for a long time. Guess what my house has? That's a modern house and everything. But guess what it has in it? I have got lead paint in my house, okay? You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, hey, and people, these smart cartridges with the ink for your printers, how they have computer chips in them, try printing up top secret information. Try printing up your own case, which is mired in corruption. Watch the magic. That won't happen for you. Get documentation. Documentation, documentation. Get it how you can. Flash drives. Seal them in baggies that are magnetically sealed, little Faraday boxes. You can make them on your own. There are YouTube videos out there that can do that. Get the paperwork. seal those up, fireproof containers. Everyone, the way the corruption is going in our country, everyone needs their own black box. Okay? The way the government is burning down houses right now with directed energy weapons from their planes and the whatever. Okay? All it needs to do is hit your house with the small laser burn and it'll spread. Burn down your house. Burn down your evidence. Burn down who you are. Okay? Monica, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. Please, we're going to stay in contact with you. I know you know some people who are affiliated with us online, Facebook, etc. We're going to get connected. We're going to get completely into your case because, again, you spoke a lot of jargon. You spoke a lot of shop. And this is something that we all need to be aware of. The industry. You file a report against an employer? File a report against anybody and watch yourself get targeted. Now, this is not... This is supposed to be word of mouth. I filed this, and this is what happened to my life. This won't make it to the media, but this will be in a social pool of information. And people will get scared, be programmed not to report anything. Right. This is what's going on. We've got a minute left. Do you want to say something before... we got to go into the ending of the show?
Well, all I can say is in my targeting, it got far worse. If you didn't think it was going to get any worse, it made certain it did. And I mean the home invasions, all of it. It was just totally insane. And, you know, I got to tell you, the people who had a lawful obligation to recuse themselves from any kind of contact with the case should be red flagged.
Well, thank you, Monica, for coming on the show. We are not done with you. If I have my way, and if you've got enough information, I would like to a week of Monica and just dig into your case and see if I can try to get some a couple of experts. I would love to get Ted in on this, as the butcher said. We've got to get Dr. Theodore here. And this is, you've spoken so much about things that we need to talk about. It's just, I my mind can't wrap around it all at this moment. But we are at the end of the show. All I can say is catch us next week, because this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And I'm your host, V. And... then the land of surveillance, man, with the third eye is king, so educate yourselves. Catch you next week.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're a- listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.